All right. Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name's Morgan and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Morgan.
Hello, everybody. Just some housekeeping. We will be recording and publishing the audio. You can sign up for email or listen to previous on our website at simpleactions.net. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restroom. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody in Zoom will chat with you. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple action. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA Simple Action. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are going to be discussing Step 12, Part 1. Please welcome our panel. We got Robert and Mike. Those of you with a book and that are following along, I'm going to read the first paragraph on page 89. And then each of the panel will share for a few minutes on the reading. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. On page 89, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Mike, you want to go first?
Sure. Hey, everybody. I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mike.
I never had, didn't have anything in my life, but like Morgan just read prior to this program, that doesn't refer to family or friends from years ago, but in the years, heavy drinking and serious active alcoholism and that gradual downward progression or downward spiral to the point of desperation where I was willing to come into this program. I was told early on, guided by one sponsor or another to talk to newcomers, to be quick to stick a hand out, welcome people, and just chat, make them, help them feel welcome. I might have been on step 3 or 4 or 5 at that point, but it was starting to make an effort. I was told, well, you've got more than they have. And don't get carried away, Mike, you don't have much. You know, a good sponsor will always keep you, help you stay right size. But then the group I got sober in, came up in this program, and so to speak, once you reach step 9, you were to start sponsoring other alcoholics. And, you know, there are times when I think what has made the difference for me was the willingness to take the phone calls when they were inconvenient, to stay on the phone longer than was convenient for me, to spend more time on a Sunday afternoon than I would have otherwise liked, to spend time going over the same sort of point after point, and all the while realizing that this is the same exact thing your sponsors dealt with out of you, Mike. You know, you want to keep focusing on the problem over and over again. There has in many cases been experiences where I felt whatever I was dealing with or just fell away in just a regular sponsee check-in. A great way to disconnect from the workday or whatever you know, problem or challenge life has presented me with, or self-inflicted crisis I've got going on, and but to take that phone call from a sponsee. And some of the most valuable were the phone calls that came when I did not expect it, when it was an emergency phone call for that sponsee. And I've made those emergency phone calls too, where everything you think the world's going to come apart, and I got to call somebody right now. I was on the receiving end of that phone call, and there was no doubt in my mind at the instant I saw the name on the phone that, yeah, the only thing you can do, right, work, whatever's going on, family function, step away. And there's a lot to be learned in that. And the credit, you know, we learn in here, I don't get any of the credit for making that effort. I get credit for making the effort. That's, but it's not, it's really not even about that. It, yeah, reaching out to others the way others reached out to me, it's made a big difference. That's all I got.
Thanks for sharing, Mike. My name's Robert. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps to try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affair. Yeah, that's a great thing that I experienced. And I experienced that time and time again in AA, as long as I'm participating in AA. And I love the way it's written. I love the way it was laid out. I love the way that we share and receive our experience, strength from help from other people. And practical experience shows us that nothing will ensure immunity from drinking as intense work with other alcoholics. Well, we're intense people, so we're definitely in the right area. Not all, but some of the people I have journeyed with are pretty intense. I happen to be incredibly intense to my downfall at times. And working together, the unity is part of our triangle. I think that's a critical part of my program. Yes, the book, the recovery part, critical, but so is the unity. And step 12 is the unity. It's going out there. I've done enough that it's safe for me to play with others now. And I can start transmitting instead of this toxicity that I come in with. I'm acid. I'm not the good kind. Well, there's no good kind. But I mean, like I'll burn a hole through a floor acid, right? I come in here very toxic. And it says it right here. Remember, they are ill. Well, at any given moment, I have people that can attest to this. I'm still an ill person. I'm better. I'm healthier. I do have things more healthy, and I'm practicing recovery. So not every day is a holiday, but I'm better than when I came in. And that's thanks to this program. But it's just not reading a book. It's not a self-help program. I can read and sometimes comprehend, but I need you to share your experience with it, because you're in a different part of your journey with me, right? And I like when they share, you can secure confidence. It's crazy in AA. Like, you can walk out, like coming into a meeting, start to talk to somebody that never seen before. And all of a sudden, we got the vibe like, oh, you're in a bad way. Oh, I'm not in a bad way, but I remember what a bad way was. Hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing? And then we start talking and it just starts flowing. Like, there's stuff I told people in AA, not my sponsor, that I never told people that been in my life for 30 years before coming to AA. I ain't telling you that. It's a very, AA takes away the force field that I kept up to keep you at arm's length. And you guys want to go ahead and, like a cougar attacking a prey, will bring me in. You welcome me in a nice way. You will be very inclusive. You will draw me in with your patience, with your love, with your kindness, but most importantly, your experience. You are not BSing me in here. You're not, well, some of you might, who knows? I don't care. Good on you if you are. But for the most part, people are usually pretty genuine in AA. They're like, oh man, I really jacked things up. I'm like, cool. Welcome. You're in the right spot. I like the fact that they tie that in, carrying the message. Now, this is really cool. We're carrying this great you know, shiny message of like, hey, everything's great. God's in control. Woo, look at us. But we also can carry the message of our experience, which is we were ill. We can carry that. We can relate to one another. We see the commonality, not the differences, if at times. Life will take on a new meaning. Absolutely. Life will take on a new meaning. The way I was raised, we're all different people. That's cool. You have to fight for everything. You fight for what you want, and you fight to keep what you get. New meaning in AA, none of it's mine. It's all temporal. This is a gift. I'm given the gift. I don't earn this gift. I do things, and this gift is bestowed upon me from a higher power, God, whatever floats your boat. The grace that my higher power, God, gives is also through you people. You give me patience when I need patience. You give me mercy when I always need mercy. And you share that with me. So my whole meaning got flipped from fight to survive to service of living. I'm living today. I'm not surviving, although my brain will lie to me constantly. To watch people recover, yeah, that is truly a joy. To see people recover, to see it like, man, I remember that ugly loneliness that trapped in the brain where just real dark place. And then all of a sudden people are shiny and happy. Shiny, happy people. Look at us go. To grow, growing is a good thing. I agree with that. Host of friends. The thing, and I'll shut up real quick because there's a few things to cover. I always picture myself as a feral animal coming into AA, right? It's a warrior. There's no love in the streets, right? We're fighting for everything, and I'm cautious of everyone. And then we come in here, and it's like a bunch of puppies all gathering together. It's so sweet to watch. I miss those days. I don't have the same unity that I had when my first 2 years, where I'd call you every single day because some of us are employed, some of us are not. And we got lots of time on our hands. So we're going to go to every meeting, eat after every meeting, go to every movie, because I never did anything sober until coming into AA. So I want to go to a concert. Music's over. No, it's not. Morgan goes to concerts all the time. He's stone cold sober. I'll go with Morgan. So we're calling each other, going like little puppies, going in and seeing the whole world anew. And it's really a joy to be a part of. I'll shut up with that because I talk way too much.
Thank y'all both so much. That was awesome. The next reading is going to be See Your Man Alone if Possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experience. Encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. His mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapade. Get him to.
When I take that first line, see your man alone if possible, in a broader sense of avoid getting involved in whatever personal life, family life, relationship drama the newcomer has, the, you know, potential sponsee or just call it a newcomer. General conversation before or after a meeting. I found that often the words came and there seemed to be guidance involved. And early on, for the first several years, I believe that, you know, well, a newcomer has to ask somebody and they have to approach somebody. So, you know, it was a fundamentalist view of attraction rather than promotion. And that view evolved over time. And with the guidance of a different sponsor, but he only played a small part in it, the view largely evolved to, well, you know, when there seems to be some guidance there, when it seems indicated, just go ahead and assign yourself to somebody and don't leave any, you know, at the very least plant good seeds. But the words just often came, how much to share, what examples of my past to share. It seemed to happen naturally. But avoiding, and you know, before a meeting and after a meeting, naturally a newcomer would have his wife or girlfriend with him. But that was relatively rare. And again, I had some, you know, some crazy experiences with sponsees, and maybe there are more crazy ones to come involving their family stuff. And we all have that. I was largely alone when I came in here. Everybody had stepped away to preserve their own sanity. My first sponsor explained, and that they did the right thing. But not getting mixed up in somebody's family and focus just, it's just one-on-one. I found that, again, the words often just came. There seemed to be some guidance involved in that. And, you know, and in some cases I would assign myself to the person. In some cases I would just plant seeds and maybe end up sponsoring that person later, or just being, you know, somebody they talk to at different meetings or different points in recovery. But when action was indicated, I acted. And yeah, that's all I got.
Rock on. Good stuff, Mike. Appreciate you. Like Mike said, see your man or person alone. I found through guidance, right? I visited my sponsor once a week, my very first sponsor once a week. He was a very busy person. He set aside a time slot. And if I went recovering, what he had, I had to put some willingness forward. I had to meet him where he's at and we go through this one-on-one. And I thought that was very important for me. I don't think alcoholics are special because we drink until we kill ourselves or someone else or go insane or get locked up, right? So we are a special class, but we're still human beings. Human beings have a general thing that sometimes we get distracted easily and we want to put on a show, right? We got a group of people. We can't be as honest or intimate in one-on-one situations. One-on-one, it's not whatever goes on. Everybody's different, whatever. But if it's only me and Morgan talking, I can focus on what I'm trying to communicate to him and I can listen to what Morgan is saying versus a crowd of people looking around the room to make sure that I'm engaged with everyone, right? It can be a good thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing per se, but the one-on-one makes it a little bit more personal. In the very beginning of our book, before we even start, there's prefaces and all that stuff, however you want to pronunciate those things. And it says it's a personal journey, right? It's a personal journey. Sharing experience, strength, and hope with another person. These singular language. So I'm going to start with one person. And then it can, of course, grow into a fellowship. But when I'm working in the beginning, I'm foggy. I'm befuddled. I am confused, to say the very least. Still get that way, by the way. Not perfect. And the one-on-one time is important. And I love the guidance that they were giving, like Mike was saying. You know, let's listen. We got 2 ears. Let me listen to what you got going on. And if I have a general idea on what you want, that's kind of important. My first sponsor, when I asked him, I went up to him and I said, hey, I might need some help. And he didn't say, do you want to get sober? He said, what do you want? And I didn't know what I wanted. I just knew I didn't want what I had. So that was a good starting point, right? All right, cool. We can work with that. He listened to what I was saying. And I didn't know everything that I was saying because I was alcoholically insane. And I like how it goes ahead and it gives latitude. It gives room to move in this fellowship that we're blessed with, right? It's not like, hey, we're going pounding, drinking bad. You do this or you bad. Doesn't do that. We can talk about the hilarity of some of the stuff was kind of funny, man. I can't believe we're all still here. And some of it was kind of cute. Some of it was serious. Some of it was heart-wrenching. Some of it, I can't speak for you people, but for me, it was some terrible stuff. I was a sick man. I did sick people do sick things, man. Shocker, right? but we don't have to go ahead and I'll listen to what you have to say and I'll share what I have to say and you kind of steer the ship and I'm just here rowing with you, letting God take the wind of peace into a beautiful horizon. And we get to share this and it deepens the relationship. I'll shut up with this. I have a lot of people in my life, a lot of alcoholics in recovery. Some are not in recovery, wish they would be in recovery, and just other normal human beings. And when they share things, they're like, well, what do you think I should do? And I'm like, I don't know what you should do. I have no idea what works for you, bro or sister or whoever. This is what, if I had that situation happen to me, this is what I did, and these are the results. I'd love to say I bat 100. That's okay. This is what I did. And it worked out horrible. This is what I did after seeking guidance, and it worked out okay. Choice is yours. I'm not going to go dictate your journey. And I don't know what your journey is until you tell me what your journey is. So we can talk about serious stuff. Yeah, let's get remorse about this. Yeah, let's do this. Sure. And then it does say turn around, and it says if the mood is light, humorous, blah, blah, blah. Basically, it tells us let's get back into the solution. So whatever we're sharing, right? We're sharing from where we were and why it's not like that now. And that's where the solution comes in. Oh, yeah, I did that terrible, horrible thing and I felt really bad. And I don't do that anymore. And this is why, and that's when the book comes into play, the cheat code. I'm like, I used to do that all the time and now I don't. So I like the honest sharing about it. I think it really deepens the relationship. If we all do fluffy things together, how deep is that? Are we bleeding with each other? Are we in the trenches? Yeah, let's get dirty. This is AA. And then we can maybe wash off at the end of the day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you both. The next reading is also on page. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist. Breathe. We suggest you do this as we have done it in the chapter on alcohol. If he is alcoholic, understand you, he will match your mental. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't, at this stage, refer to this book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that he possibly can if he is not too alcoholic. But insist that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself.
Well, almost every sponsee, our newcomer I've worked with, knew about this book. So, but there were a few who weren't sure, several who weren't sure if they were alcoholic. What usually came to my mind to tell them, well, I mean, time will tell. And it always does one way or another. But the things I shared about myself and my experience, the degree of sharing, was this something I'd only ever told my sponsor, maybe a couple home group members, or was this something most friends in the program? That all seemed to come natural. And what struck me with my first sponsor, and I was still a very foggy-headed newcomer the first couple times I met with him and sat at his kitchen table, was the lack of an agenda. And I think that, I hope that showed through me. My only agenda was to be of help to any newcomer I was working with. But that struck me and still stands out in mind with my first sponsor, that, I mean, this guy had no agenda and this guy got it. He wasn't, I could never tell the, we all know why you could never tell the counselors, the psychiatrists, psychologists the truth. They will lock you up. And I just knew those people didn't get it. And can't say there was an agenda there, but I just knew I couldn't share the truth with them. But was open and honest about myself when working with a newcomer. And maybe this was somebody that was willing to work and proceed forward with this or not. And then in a few cases, the person wasn't sure they were alcoholic their path was their path. I was taught early on, as while a newcomer myself, to not push taking action and doing this. The behavior never lies. I was taught that if the person's willing to take action, they will take action. No, all the excuses in the world don't cover, conceal the fact that you're not taking action. You're clearly not willing to, but it seemed to occur naturally what to share, when to share it, how much detail, when to share the serious stuff, when not. I think with the mind and heart in the right place, and with short prayer beforehand, something I believe in doing just before any meeting, and maybe two before the intergroup. But anybody that's ever been to intergroup knows how those can be. But with the heart and head in the right place, I think conversation went naturally. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, Mike. Sure. I like the words that you use, man. I like your sharing, man. I really do. I like the word that you use, naturally, and stuff like that. And I think that's part of the whole deal. I can't stay sober. We have a shot at this. And why do we have a shot on this? And I think it's because of a higher power. We talked earlier on about a spiritual experience, whatever words you want to put on top of that spiritual experience. That's what's really kind of giving us the go-go juice here. And I love the word. He keeps on using the word natural. I like natural. I like organic. I like the fact that this isn't, you mentioned the word, an agenda, right? I was completely blown away, like knocked my socks off verbally when I started reading this book with my first sponsor. My very first meeting told me, get a book, grab the book, read it, was depressing as all hell. Possibly a curse word, possibly not descriptive. But I did not understand what was going on. I focused the hopelessness on this, right? It was very hopeless. I seemed not curable. This is not good, right? Then I get a sponsor or a guide, which I would highly suggest, because they point out certain things in this. And like this message was sharing, they don't have an agenda. I picked my first sponsor because I liked what he had. And he was like, dude, we're not married. If we start going down this path and you don't like what I have, I'm not going to change what I have to appease you. We're pretty blessed here in the Tidewater area. Go find somebody else that you can work with. It's not an agenda. He's not trying to have like a checklist of, oh man, I got 50, you know, I got 50 sponsors. I must be doing AA real good. No, he's like, dude, I'll work with you. If you need help and I can help, if I'm available, let's do this. Let's see where this goes. And at any time we have to part ways, we still can be friends. We don't have to like character assassinate each other or anything. We're just humans helping each other home. And I really like what Mike was also saying about this, you know, deeds, not words. It's going to come to light. It's going to come to light. I'm either doing this program or I am not doing this program. And for an alcoholic of this hopeless desire, if I'm severely afflicted, straight up, I'm a stone cold alcoholic. I've been sober for a while now. I'm still a stone cold alcoholic. Without AA contact in my life, I will guarantee, I can't say I might not drink again, but there's a strong possibility I'll take my life, which is a terrible thing too, terrible loss. Not that I'm the most awesome thing on the planet, but there'd be some people that'd be sad. I don't want to whack myself and I don't want to go back drinking. Either option doesn't have to be an option as long as I stay in touch with AA. I think talking about the severely affected, there might be little chance for him to recover. I've known a few people, very few, like I can count on one hand over the time that I've been in AA. They came into AA, they did our thing, and then they left AA, and they're still doing okay, too, out of a lot of people. Maybe they weren't alcoholic, but the alcoholic brain rewires things. Oh, I will take, that's an exception. That's like finding a unicorn. The rule of thumb is, we're in AA meeting, it might have some issues, right? So my brain will lie to me. My disease fuels that lie and says, oh, one person didn't need AA. This must be great. No, that's not the case for me, at least. So feature on the hopelessness on it. You know, I've also known a lot of people that unfortunately kill themselves by accident or on purpose inside the rooms. And when they left the rooms, I've seen people do some pretty horrendous stuff to other people inside the rooms and outside of the room. And that's the hopelessness of it. And I think it's really good to just share what I've experienced or what I observed in this. And I started off one way and then I went another way. In the book, it told me, we're reading. It says, oh, if you don't think you're an alcoholic, try some controlled drinking. I took a double take. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm reading with my sponsor. I'm like, wait, it's telling me to go out and try drinking? And he's like, no, it's not telling you to do, but it's, if you think, sure. Out of all the times that people tried to stop me from killing myself with drinking or control my drinking, not one person said, well, maybe you should do it some more. Nope, that didn't happen. Nope, I'm lying. Once I lost a bet during Easter, and I lost a bet while drunk at a bowling alley. And they said, if you lose this, which I knew I wasn't going to lose, you have to stay sober all during Lent, which is a thing, right? And I was like, that's fine. I know I'm going to win because I'm braggadocious. I lose. And I'm like, no, why? And because I'm a tenacious and at the time a different person, I'm not going to drink. And by like 25 days into not drinking with Alcoholics Anonymous, the people that I made the bet with were like, dude, drink. You are unbearable. Drink. Now, maybe not get blackout drunk, but have something to take whatever's going on in between here. We need to dial that back. So I say that because we're supposed to be, which had nothing to say. But yeah, sure.
Oh, thank you both. That was great. Next reading is also continue 91. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind, which keep his attention focused mainly on your experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize. Doctors rightly loathe to tell alcoholic patients story unless it will serve, but you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcohol. Soon have your friend admit he has many, if not all, of the traits of the alcohol. If his own doctor is willing to tell him that he is alcoholic, so much the better. Even though your protege may not have entirely his condition, he has become very curious you got well. Let him ask you that question, he will. Tell him exactly what happened. Dress the spiritual. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic. Have to. He can choose conception he likes, provided it makes. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There's no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own convictions.
Yeah, that last part about somebody's own spiritual experiences or their beliefs in God and religion, it made intuitive sense to stay away from that and to keep it pretty simple. If I continued working with the person, they felt they were an alcoholic and, you know, we were on a similar footing. You know, we talked more freely about it, but, I kept significant parts of some conversations, discussion of the hopelessness on myself. If the person's got any measure of desperation and even a teeny bit of self-honesty, they realize they're starting to identify with and realize, well, this, you know, this person gets it and they share this because they've experienced it and there's no other agenda to it. The same way I did with my first sponsor. I just knew this guy gets it. And I didn't know this guy from anybody, complete stranger basically, but he took Thursday night out of every week away from his family to sit at the kitchen table with my crazy ass. And we come in here having no experience with religion. I had some, but never anything meaningful. You know, growing up in church, going to Sunday school, going to church against your will. You're a kid. I mean, you know, mom and dad say go, you go. Even into the teenage years, even into maybe the first year of high school, but no sort of adult experience with religion or with a relationship with God. In fact, in quite a bit of agnosticism and atheism, but drinking took care of that. And it quickly wiped that away. It didn't take all that long either. I have worked with newcomers who I was taught, and from what I've experienced in this, it's best for a newcomer not to wait on working with a sponsor and doing the steps, because 3-4 months of dry time, you start to think you've got this. The ego gets right back up. The ego's been up since after you've dried out for a week, and you start thinking, well, I know how to fix this. Okay, go get some more. My first sponsor never pulled any punches about that. He would tell people in meetings, you know, when they talked about their life was just a train wreck, but they didn't drink today, maybe you should have. You know, we're not supposed to crosstalk. That's been a thing for a long time, longer than I've been in here, but maybe you should have. I bet everybody around you would wish you had, the type of thing Robert just shared about. There was maybe only once he told me, look, if you're really not willing to do this, Mike, go drink. Go drink to get out of the way, whatever it is that's blocking you from being willing to do. He often reminded me of our first conversation where he asked me, what are you not willing to do to quit drink? He later told me that if anything I had offered, he would have said, good, call me when that's out of the way, because I'm not going to waste my time on somebody that's not willing. And I came to that conclusion as well with sponsees, although I found sponsees usually fired themselves. They just stopped calling or just disappeared. And who knows what their path is. It's not about me. That's any more than, you know, my path isn't about them. But, you know, they went their own way and, you know, that went wherever it went. But there was some resistance at times, this or that sponsee wanting to, well, go back and do this through the church. Okay, well, but yet you're sitting here and you're wanting to argue. You're wanting to discuss this. You know, there's already, and being very careful, contemplating, pointing out to somebody, well, you've already tried the church route, but you're here. You're in these AA meetings. You've got a home group. You put your hand out for newcomers and you're sitting here at my kitchen table with me. So what's that about? But we all our paths are different. And I maybe once or twice experienced working with a newcomer who had a lot of strong atheism still. Well, it may be that that's something in the way of willingness, and you need to, whatever needs to happen that will take that out of the way needs to happen. I didn't tell any sponsee to go drink. Most conversations, again, I don't want to overuse the word natural, but most conversations happen natural. And if somebody wanted to resist or argue, then they wanted to do that. If in the case of the guy, there was one guy that was very, very much an atheist, and okay, well, that's, yeah, there's not much I can, not much I can do for you with, as a sponsor in AA, if you're a devout atheist and set on that, you know, you're, it was clear his path was going somewhere other than working with me. So, but more power, you know, wouldn't wish any bad on it, on anybody.
Appreciate you, brother.
Continue to speak as alcohol, illness, and a fatal malady. Yeah, that's probably a good idea to keep that. There's a running thread, right? They keep on telling us because kind of that's what it is. Talk about the conditions of the mind and body and mind that's accompanying it. Focus mainly on your personal experiences. That's good. I, for me as a person, my personal experience, I'll talk about on 101 with a sponsor this is, or a person that I'm helping, whatever. I keep it to my experiences. And as the thing grows, I can, my personal experiences are some observations also. I don't talk crap about other people, but I had a real, my second sponsee, great guy, met his family well, and he was doing this thing with us. And he stopped doing this thing, and it turned out real bad for him, and a lot of other people turned out real bad. And so I can share that because that's my personal experience. I can share with people that there's times, luckily they're very brief, that I don't step away from AA. I hope I always remember two things. One, I'm an alcoholic, and two, my life is good today, and the people around me are better with me in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I do. I hope I never fall out of love with Alcoholics Anonymous. Of everything I gave away or don't take care of, I hope I take care of this. This is super important. So I try to keep it as personal as possible. As far as the spirituality goes, yeah, I don't have any conflict with really just not anything at all, because it's none of my business. I think it's plainly, he can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he's be willing to believe in a power greater than himself, and that he lives by spiritual principles. Always inclusive, never exclusive. That's the thing with AA. I've seen a lot of people, and myself included, change my spiritual guidance throughout this journey. You know, come in one way and then stay around for a while, and maybe something, maybe more will be revealed. I'm like, oh, this is a new shiny higher power. Let's check this out for a while. So I'll do business with this higher power. And all along, it might just be one big joke, and it's just a higher power controlling it all. God is everything or he is nothing. What is my choice? I love that sayings. We stopped at that reading with my first sponsor, and he said, you need to go home and think about this and then come back to me and give me an answer. If you got an answer, we can maybe continue, or maybe we can just sit around and talk and like we're friends. I like the all or nothing. Being an alcoholic, I got to tell you, 90% of that's spiritual, 10% not spiritual. If God is everything or God is nothing, then if things are going bad, you don't get all the kudos, God, you get all the bad stuff too. So my higher power is kind of wacky. So I'm okay with God being everything, because when it's all hitting the fan, I just need to work with another alcoholic, and all this crazy terribleness, global events, and my personal life is all burning down around me. That is fine. Go work with another alcoholic. My higher power has a plan. I don't get to know what that plan is, which is infuriating at times. And I don't always agree with the plan. Once again, I have slight ego problem. If God would only listen to me more often. But yeah, the spirituality program, I love the always inclusive, never exclusive. And you see people doing the deal in all different ways. We're all getting to the top of the mountain. We all just like, oh, there's a flower, there's a butterfly. That's cool. Just keep on rolling with us. It's all going to be fine. And once again, I think it all comes very natural. It's people are going to be willing to either look for a higher power, or they won't. More will be revealed. Thanks for that.
Sharon, thank you both. So I think I'm going to group these last that way y'all can full
up time
if you want to go.
Oh,
you don't have to put a time. All right. Page 94. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you're endeavoring. It is important for him to realize that actually he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you only hope that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestion. And then the last reading on page 96, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work with them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their shame.
Oh, right. Well, I mentioned earlier, I don't know that I ever fired a sponsee, and they usually went on their way or simply stopped calling. But I discussed all the things covered here, and while Morgan was reading this, it came to mind how when I would think, I'd been told as a newcomer that, you know, if you don't demonstrate through action that you're willing, I'm not going to waste my time with you. I need to go find somebody that wants this thing, and wasting time on somebody that doesn't might deprive a newcomer who's willing to work the opportunity to recover. And my first sponsor wasn't real subtle, but in a great way. And when I would think, well, gosh, I think I got kind of a full plate here. And I'd pose this type of question to my sponsor. I think I've got kind of a full plate. I've got a couple sponsees, work, two home group meetings. And he'd usually cut me off and say, look, it's none of your business. Don't you, you're worrying about something that doesn't exist. And, it would be uncanny in a way that, you know, maybe one sponsee would move on to work with somebody else or just stop calling. And then yet there was another newcomer to work with. I think I'd had a full plate, but it seemed clear to me that if there was somebody there and we, you know, a newcomer after a meeting, we started talking that, okay, well, clearly God knows better than I that I have more room on my plate where this opportunity wouldn't have popped up. And it so often seemed uncanny. It was better than anything I could put together. Things just seemed to fit. There always seemed to be time to take phone calls or to meet in person if the sponsee was willing. But there've been some amazing experiences in this. And it may be only a couple times when wrapped up in my own selfishness I hear the phone ring, it's the 7 o'clock phone call and it's, I don't wanna do this, but still I do it. My stuff at least was toned way down. If it didn't go all away altogether, my negative reaction to hearing the phone ring most of the time, it just, it's fairly amazing how this came together. The type of conversations I would never have had. I wouldn't have had anything to offer, but thinking so much of others, spending time on others, reaching out to help others, none of that would have happened prior to recovery. It's been pretty amazing to work with many people. And I maybe only once or twice had to be corrected by a sponsor that, Mike, remember, Mike, this isn't about you. Most of the time, I could see that clearly and was just fine with it. And that's the way I see all the sponsees, all the newcomers I've worked with and talked with since being in this program. It's none of it's about me. It's when a sponsee, there were a couple cases where a sponsee told me, well, look, after a conversation about, well, look, I'm willing to do this, but this other way, no, I mean, that's a little too much, or I just don't like, you know, the God terminology or whatever, and would fire me and go look for another sponsor. Well, my sponsor knew what was up and would tell me, Mike, none of it's about you. Whatever that guy's path is, that is not about you. And if I was halfway open-minded, it was easy to hear that message and know that it indeed was not about me. His time working with me was up. My time as the messenger had ended, and it was time to look for somebody else to work with. And so I did. That's all I got.
Thanks, Mike. I'll condense this and it's hard to talk about step 12 without incorporating some of the other steps, because it's kind of like a progression. And step 11, which happens to be one of my favorite ones, and I honestly like the St. Francis deal, the outgoing love thing. And like Mike said, it's not about me. It's about being of love and service. And when my time is up, right, be it for whatever reason, if I'm spiritually fit, it's very easy to see that I did my part, and I did it with a good heart and with guidance. And our paths are going separate now, and that should be fine. And I'd like to say that at all the times that that's comes naturally to me, I would be lying to you. There has been, most of the time, I'm usually relatively spiritually fit, and I'm okay with that. It is what it is. You know, more will be revealed. Maybe universe has a different direction for this person to go, and I don't want to stop him or that person from doing that. You know, that would be kind of selfish. I don't want to do that. But I'm glad I'm not alone in AA, because I need those from my sponsor, from my close people that I'm with, that like, yo, Robert, you're not God, dude. Stop doing that. And I don't do it. Sure, we can say it's ego, because it is ego, but it's not like my motives. Checking motives are really important to me. I think checking my motives is really important to me. And sometimes my motives might look good on the surface, like, dude, I don't want anything bad to happen to people, right? I want good stuff for people. And letting go is hard for me and my personality type. It's hard for me to let go when I help you. I don't want you to get hurt. Well, then I'm in conflict with the program. It's not about me. The higher power has it all. I did my part. Stay on your side of the street. Being a rambunctious person full of passion and energy, I like to run all over the place, you know? So it's good for me to have good orderly direction and say, no, stay over here. You did your part. It's unsatisfying. It's really not about you. I don't care if you're satisfied or not. You did your part, move on. So, when spiritually fit, all this comes very natural, and it's really cool. It's very smooth ride. And then sometimes I get a little off kilter because I'm not perfect. And there's always, if I'm involved with AA, my higher power puts a sponsor or Mike or Morgan or Megan or you in my life, and I talk regular with you, and you're like, it kind of looks like you're playing God. I'm like, oh, snap, that's a bad thing for me to do for everyone. Let's stop doing that. So once again, you know, when it's time to let go, it's time to let go. And love and service and being available and remembering it's about outgoing love. It's not about what am I getting out of this. And I love what Mike said about the plate being full. Sometimes we get busy in AA. We get real busy in AA. And then some of us have people in our lives that take up some more of that plate. And then we throw in work, and man, the plate looks like so. And that's where my fear kicks in. And that fear and that faith want to go head to head all the time. If I can drop that fear, which I need a lot of help with through the book and people, then that faith comes in and says, dude, man, don't worry about it. You get second helpings here right now, and pile on the mashed potatoes, pop. This is going to be good. And my cup overruneth. It's really kind of cool when that faith replaces the fear, and I need help with that all the time. I say in my personal experience, it's been getting easier, and I don't live in fear as long, which is progress, which is really awesome. And I hope to be here for a long time to keep on getting healthier and less confusing. So yeah, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you both for an awesome meeting tonight. We're gonna pass the seventh tradition basket, which are both right there. If you have those, that would be great. right, the seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside while contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses. The seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safe, our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all. It encourages each person here to contribute a pure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take. Are there any AA related?
Believe it or not, I have. And that announcement goes something like this. Tomorrow is Tuesday, There is a dinner and a meeting, Sandbridge Anniversary Night, Alcoholics Anonymous for 45 years and Al-Anon for 39 years. Feature a speaker from AA and speak from Al-Anon. Dinner begins at 7 p.m. Speaker meeting begins at 7:30. Bring a dish if you wish, or like, I guess he said, and join us for the special celebration in Sandbridge. It is way out there at 3041 Sandpiper Road, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. And I do have one too. This home group right here, Monday, November 21st, is having a supper and a speaker. 6 p.m. potluck. Bring a dish, please, if you can. If not, bring yourself. Bring a sponsee. Have a lot of fun. Speaker's going to be at 7. It's going to be Lauren M. from Richmond right here in this room, 6 p.m., Monday, November 21st. 2 weeks.
This room?
This room right here at 531 Raleigh Avenue, in case you didn't know the address. All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group, please raise your hands. All right. Awesome. Point out that literature is available. The literature is available on the no longer a hand sanitizing station. It is a literature station currently. So that is where the literature will be. If you can fold it, it's free. Otherwise, talk to a home group member if you'd like to grab a book. All right. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available right here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. If you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is the Mexican restaurant, 22nd Street in Colonial, right before the train tracks on the right-hand side. If you cross the tracks, you've gone. In closing, let's thank the panel one more time. All right. And after the Lord's Prayer, everybody come up and thank her. And Amy is going to read the last two paragraphs.
My name is Amy. Our book is We Realize God Will Consider to Us. Ask him what you, if you're, but obviously, God, see to it that your relationship greatly surpassed for you. And this is the great God. Abandon yourself, admit your faults to him, and to clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. He shall be with you, and you will surely meet some of us. Trudge the road of happiness. God bless you.
Thanks for reading.
Thanks.
If y'all want to stand up, join hands, make a little circle, join hands. We'll close it out with the Lord's Prayer. I think we can kind of figure out this. Like, sweet little oval. Look at the triangle. All right. Quick moment of silence, followed by our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.